Welcome to Portia Pattern with Bracken Helms, the show where we hear Bracken and his distinguished guests from the Portia community patter on about Porsches and all things automotive. Portia Pattern is sponsored by Circuit 64. Circuit 64 creates authentic automotive apparel made for like-minded automotive enthusiasts. The links for Circuit 64 are in the show notes. Okay, let's get to it.
The Professor, Part 2. Okay, there's a lot of things on this one that I could comment on for hours, but I'll try to make it brief. Some of the things I like that he said are when he's talking about being a good custodial for his car. I think about things like this, and I wonder if other people do. Because these cars are only made once. Like now, you hear people talk about, oh, those idiots would take pre-impact or long hood cars and make them look modern. We look at that now like, was the person an idiot? But there's stuff going on now where it's like the person owns the car for a handful of years and totally destroys it. I understand. I'm all about personalizing your car. You personalize it. It makes you feel like closer to the car. It makes you happy. Do it. It's just crazy to me that people have a car for a handful of years. And I mean, this car may be around for another 100 years and this person has it for a couple of years and they have no sense into, okay, well, maybe I should keep this car for the next generation. I mean, do what you want with the car, but like, just kind of have that thought. Like when you're following someone on a drive and they're a much better driver than you, and you just are trying to keep up and you throw your car into a tree all because you're trying to keep up. That's not being a very good custodial. It's not being a person with common sense either. When the other person's a better driver, this isn't a dick swinging contest. Another thing he talked about is when he was like, these cars really are a good deal. I mean, I had this argument last Christmas with a Porsche friend of mine. And, you know, the typical argument. Well, I remember when I could buy these cars for like 15, 10 grand. This is ridiculous that they're worth this much. Yeah, I'm a person that doesn't make a whole lot of money. So believe me, I want to jump on that all day long. Like, I wish I could just like not worry about it and just go buy one of these cars or buy two of them or sell one and buy it. And like, it would be a lot funner. But to sit and say these cars aren't worth it, you can name a million cars that are high in value that aren't half the car of an air-cooled 911. So to say that they're not worth it is just ignorant as hell to me. When he comments like, they really are still one of the best deals out there, even with the price going up. I definitely agree with that. That's good for now. I think I made that pretty brief. Anyway, here's part two of The Professor.
Fastest you've ever driven, where, what car, why?
I have very little interest in top speed. My thrills are usually, you know, around 40 miles per hour on a really tight, twisty road. That's what excites me. That's what boils my blood. When I was very young, and when I was 22 years old, I got a Porsche 944 and took that across the country. And in Nevada on Highway 50, which is known as the loneliest road in America, I was topping that car out at a little over 130, but for an extended period of time. But yeah, so I'd say not fast, 130, 140 tops. Right now I have a Golf R from 2013, and I've blasted that one up to above legal speeds a few times. And it's a fantastic car and very safe, but yeah, rather drive a slow car fast than a fast car slow, as the saying goes. I have a 73 914 with 1.7, and it's an old rusty beater. So it's probably got maybe 50, 55 horsepower wheel tops. And I have an enormous amount of fun driving that car as fast as I possibly can. And it teaches you all the right stuff. I mean, you lift in a corner in that 914, it's going to take you 5 minutes to get back up to speed. Right in a fast car, you just hit the throttle and you're back up there. But this car is so extraordinarily slow that it really teaches you all the right stuff about conserving your momentum and, yeah, carrying your speed through the corners. And it's hard to hustle that slow-ass car quickly. And that's the challenge that I like. Do you go to Easy every month? Those guys are great. I'm so happy that they do that still.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's important for the community up there in Northern California.
my first move from Utah, I didn't know anybody here. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here with a car just driving by myself, and someone said, oh, go to Fantasy Junction. You know, mm-hmm. I know these people. So I go to Fantasy Junction. I'm talking to them, and they're like, you don't need to be talking to me. I'll tell you, you need to go down the street one block and turn left. So I went in there to Jim, and yeah. we just chatted forever.
Yeah.
And I would just go in there occasionally, and every time we'd just chat forever. And then when are you going to start coming to our meets? And
yeah, there you go. I love Fantasy Junction, but yeah, they're right. Your people are around the corner. Yeah, that's awesome.
We already kind of went over that. What age and how did you get into cars?
It's all I cared about as a little boy. It's really it for me. I have just been singularly obsessed with cars since I was tiny. You know, was with Road and Track and Car and Driver subscriptions when I was little, and just pore through them, and always followed the market really closely and fantasize about all the cars that I love. And
I have a question. Do you still do that?
I still do, yeah.
See, I used to do that, but I don't anymore. There's nothing, like, I don't know what just flipped one day. Maybe it's because I realized I wasn't going to be a billionaire. I don't know, but, like, there's nothing I like less. Like, bring a trailer and all these things that tell you how much things are, and the auctions that are on TV. Oh, did you watch the auction? I hate it now.
Yeah.
I used to love it.
Well, what I hate is that all the cars got expensive.
Right. Well, that might be part of the reason.
Yeah. I mean, back in the olden days, I couldn't afford the cars when they were cheap. And now I can't afford the cars because they're expensive. So I keep missing the boat, but I was lucky enough to make a couple good purchases over the years.
Yeah.
With this three beaters that I have. Yeah. I bought them in eras when they were still super cheap. And I still think, you know, everyone complains about the 911 values and how expensive they've gotten. I still kind of feel like they're the best deal for a car on the market anywhere. I mean, you can have more fun in a $50,000 911 than I think in a $250,000 supercar. At least I can. But I am sad that they have caught on. I don't care that my cars are way more valuable now. I wish they were all still super cheap. And then I could buy a few more of them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. That was one of my questions that I was going to get into. But yeah, it's like people are like, oh, don't you love that your car's gone up? I like that it hasn't gone down. I'm glad that I didn't buy it for 25-ish and now it's worth 8.
Yeah.
But as far as like now that it's 3 times that, it just causes me anxiety.
Yeah, right. And then and we start worrying about our cars and then we become worse drivers because of it. So yeah. I have a 70 911 T coupe that I used to just thrash all over the place. I bought it for $6,000 and it was just my beater runner. Now it's way more valuable. I have it insured for an enormous amount of money. And now look at me, I'm a little bit nervous driving it now because it's never been crashed and I don't want to be the guy who crashes it because I don't want to be a proper custodian. That's why I take my Patina SC everywhere because I feel a little more willing to let it get messed up.
Yeah. I feel like when I describe like the position I'm in, I'm like, I always describe it as like, I'm barely lucky. Because like you were saying a minute ago, like I was able to buy my car.
Amen, brother.
But I did buy it before it exploded. So I was able to buy the car I wanted. And I would hate to be like, all of a sudden, like right now, if I wanted to buy my car, I can't buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did kind of get on the boat, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, it would have been funner to be there a little bit earlier where it could have been like, okay, maybe I'll keep this for a while and then I'll sell it. And then maybe I'll find the right one. And then, or, oh, I'll buy a few of them. Or it's like, now it's like, no, one is as much as 5 of them used to be.
Right. Right. I couldn't buy my house today. I couldn't buy my cars today, but I'm happy to have them. In the 90s, I had a 1959 356A Cabriolet, matching numbers with two tops. I had that car for 4 or 5 years. And then I sold it. It needed a better owner. It needed a lot of $100 bills thrown at it. And I was not in a position to do that. But of course, I really, really loved that car and regret selling it. That was one of my great life lessons is if you love a car and you don't have to sell it, don't sell it. You know, hold on to it because it'll keep loving you. Not because it's going to go up in value and now that car is worth, you know, bunches. But again, those are my regrets. Selling the cars I loved.
What attracted you to Porsche? Or did it just come with the cars, or the car was one thing then that led to which one?
Yeah, as I say, you know, all my lust happened at a very young age before I could drive. So I guess it's the visual appeal that really attracted me to most of the cars I love as a kid. And then in later actuation in life as a car owner, Porsches make the most sense for me for a number of reasons. One is they're made for driving. They suit my favorite kind of driving, which is canyon driving. You know, I don't spend much time on a racetrack. I used to track cars when I was a younger man, but now I'm mostly just interested in canyons and back roads and that type of thing. And those cars are perfect for it. As I say, not too fast, not too slow, small, lightweight, well handling. But Porsches are built very well. So they don't require as much maintenance as other makes. They're not as sensitive. I had a number of Alfa Romeos in my past, and they were not as robustly built as the Porsches I've owned. It's more economical to own and drive hard these really well screwed together cars. So that's one of the reasons I like them. And plus they used to be kind of cheap. So A, you could afford to buy them. B, you could afford to own them. And those are two entirely different things. So those are the reasons I love them. And then, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they became so popular that now there's a whole community of awesome people who also love them too. So that's just kind of an added bonus. I'm like, wow, I love these cars. And now because of that, there's this whole group of folks that are in my sphere.
So we were on one of the drives up north with a bunch of people, and there was I don't even know what it was, like a Nova or something. And it sounded so good. You could tell it was just a monster. And we drive by in our Porsches, and he was just like, you could tell he was a little bit angry that we were just flying by and like, but we're on a run. Like, get out of the way, buddy. What are you doing? A Saturday, Sunday drive? Like, straightaways he'd get on it, but it's like, this thing couldn't turn, and I'm just like, how much fun is he having, and how much fun are we having?
Right. Well, that's what I mean. I see these guys in the McLarens up on the mountain and so on, and I'm thinking, that McLaren can't be that much fun on these twisties. You're constantly holding it back.
Right.
Where I go up there in my meek little 914, and I'm the opposite of holding it back. I'm pushing hard and assaulting the tires and my little motor and everything. And for me, That's super exciting. I'm like, I think I'm having more fun than the dude in that 720S McLaren or whatever. Twisty, tight little canyon roads in Southern California. You don't need all those ponies.
Do you remember how you were introduced to Porsche?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think so. I had an affinity for it at a very early age. So as I say, I loved all British, Italian, and German sports cars. For some reason, I just really fell in love with Porsches at a really young age. I think, you know, it's like 5 years old or something. I decided that was my goal, was to one day drive a Porsche. And I love other cars too, as I say. I love them all. But there was a Porsche dealership in my hometown, and I'd ride my bike over there and drool over all the cars. And, you know, wait for the new model to come in. And when I knew it was going to come in, and just was always fascinated by it.
When was your first ride in a Porsche? A
couple of stories. There were always a couple kids in elementary school or middle school whose dad had a Porsche in the garage. And I always envied those guys and wish that I had a dad who had a Porsche in the garage. But one day, one of my car buddies and I had, over time, we'd sort of seen photographs of this new front engine Porsche that was going to come out called the 928. And it had these crazy pop-up lights like a Lamborghini Miura. And we thought, wow, what an incredible car. So I came home from school one day, I think it was in the seventh grade, and parked in front of my house was the first Porsche 928 I had ever seen. And it turns out my friend at the time, his father had ordered and bought one, unbeknownst to me, and brought it over to my house after school one day and waited for me to get home. His dad put us in the car. I think I was sitting in the back of the 928 and took us down some local roads, goosed the throttle, and threw us in the back of the seats. And I was hooked.
Little side note, the 928 now is the rarest car on the planet.
It's the rarest car on the planet because there aren't any left?
I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Like, we just barely were at Ren Sport Union. You see 959s. You see Carrera GTs.
Interesting.
You see everything. How many 928s do you see ever?
Yeah.
I mean, I go to like Easy. I see all these exotic cars. I never see 928s. I don't know how it is down here, but I never see 928s.
They're rare. I mean, you know, obviously there's some deferred maintenance issues with those cars. So they got real cheap. So anybody could buy them, but nobody could afford to own them. So they ran them into the ground. And, you know, there's just so many beaters out there. But it seems like a really well-maintained 928 is a great car. But they do have a bad reputation, obviously. Well, I don't, you know, and there's a groundswell for the purist movement. So, you know, a lot of folks feel like if the engine's not in the back and it's not air-cooled, then it's not a Porsche. But I like all the Porsches.
First Porsche you drove?
So, when I was 16 years old, just got my driver's license. I had the aforementioned giant hair. And I don't know, just people thought I was 25 when I was 16. So I used to go to the Porsche dealer on Van Ness Avenue in San Francisco whenever there was a new model and pretend like I was in the market for buying one. Pretend, you know, it's like lie to the dealer about all the cars that were in my garage at home. And meanwhile, I was in a studio apartment with no garage and a rabbit, a Volkswagen GTI. And then I just test drive all the Porsches that I possibly could. So I forced myself into them as soon as I had my driver's license.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. How did you feel when you got your first Porsche?
I felt like I had achieved all my life's goals. So my first Porsche was a 1984 944 black on black. And I owned that car as my only car for 8 years before I started branching out and buying multiple cars and trying to pay insurance on multiple cars. Yeah, it was one of the greatest, at that time, achievements of my life. I was just before I turned 22. So I was still 21 when I got my first Porsche. My Volkswagen, aforementioned Volkswagen Rabbit GTI, had been stolen from me. My insurance gave me a very fair settlement. And with that amount of money, I went out and bought a five-year-old 944. And man, the rest is history. That car really taught me how to drive.
What other cool cars have you owned?
I had a 68 Jaguar E-Type Roadster. I had a 64 230 SL Mercedes-Benz. Had a few different Mercedes-Benz sedans from the early 70s. A couple Alphas, like I said. A whole slew of Porsches have come in and out of my garage over the years. The 356A cab being the one I most regret selling. Gosh, I love them all, though. Mazda RX-7, a couple of Volvos. I had a 63 Ford Galaxy wagon. Bunches of cars, but I always just go right back to Porsche. I've never owned a BMW, although I love BMWs.
What is your favorite car you've owned?
Favorite car I've owned is probably the car I currently own, my 70 911 T coupe in pastel blue. It's a September 69 build and the serial number ends in 0105. So it's the 105th Karmann coupe built in September 69 as a 1970 model. So I think it had Steelys and a 4-speed when I bought it. And I've got Fuchs and a 5-speed in it now, but otherwise it's completely stock. Just a sweetheart of a car. My 81 SC, I drive more often. It really does everything better than my 70, except for that one thing, which is how it looks. And in that way, the 70 trumps the 81. The 70 looks better. The 81 does everything else better. But I do like the vintage feel of the 70 over the 81. So they're different cars, but they have a lot of similarities. And I love them both.
So. Any of you regret not buying?
Yeah. 100, but yes. Yes. There are hundreds. I mean, we all have those stories, you know. And so I regret not buying every car I didn't buy. Yeah. I wish I had 100 cars. I don't know what I'd do with them, but I love them all. I'm a hoarder.
What is the next fun car you could see yourself owning?
Yeah. Porsche or non-Porsche?
Either.
Okay.
I mean, as long as it's fun.
I mean, that's tough. It depends on what day you ask me. One of the funnest cars I've ever owned is also my Volkswagen Golf R, 2013. Turns out 250 horsepower is really all the ponies this guy needs. That is a wickedly fast car for my abilities. And it's all-wheel drive, very forgiving, and it's just a rocket. I call it a third of a Lamborghini. So I love that car. But classics that I would like to own that are not Porsches, I would like to have a Mini, a real classic Mini Cooper, preferably an S, Austin or Morris Mini, which is, I know, an oddball car. I also love the Lamborghini Espada from the early 70s. There are a few that have not made their way into my garage. I'm not trapped in my web that I would still love to own. I've never owned a Targa of any sort, and I would love to have a Targa if it's a, you know, an SC Carrera or even a, you know, an old 912. I'd love to have a 69 912 Targa. That would be a fantastic car, I think. Maybe my 914, I guess, has a removable roof. So some would call that a Targa. I don't know if it is by definition. And I long to have another 356. As I said, I regretted selling the one. I'd love to have an A coupe. Really love the A's. I also love 356B notchback. And that's also on my fantasy list of Porsches. If I had to own a new Porsche, what interests me are like the Dakar. I like the 991 Speedster, and I even like the 991 Targa and 992 Targa. But again, kind of like the older, slower cars more.
I've always kind of liked Targas, but more of a coupe guy. So I wasn't really looking for a Targa, but I'm saying like with two girls and it's a fun color.
Yeah.
Like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
Now the Targa comes off. They want it off. They like it that it's a fun color. That's the greatest thing.
What color is it?
Sahara beige.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. So you got to pay it forward to the next generation.
Right.
All right. I mean, I'm worried that love of classic cars is fading with the generations to come. You know, or teenagers don't even want a car anymore.
That's such a complicated discussion because it's kind of like people have always kind of said that. Oh, you guys don't like cars as much as we do. And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, they were saying that like, around like the time that Fast and the Furious blew up, and then all of a sudden all these kids were just completely crazy. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it seems to be like even more pivotal right now. It's like, I want to say like, oh, I don't know if they like cars as much as we did, but then it's like, I'm sure something will happen that'll change it. But between like the not driving manuals and then the EV, not that I'm against EVs, but I'm like, that's a big change.
Yeah. I had a friend buy his teenage son a new Mustang. And you know, the kid went and filled up the gas tank for $110 and then was like, yeah, I'm going to park it in the garage. Can I get a ride, Dad? It's just not, car ownership's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
You know, and for a teenage male to get car insurance is, you know, prohibitive and pay for gasoline and all that stuff. It's, You know, they can escape on the internet now. They don't need a car to escape the way you and I did when we were young.
I remember like skipping lunch in high school and using that money to fill up the gas.
Yeah.
Gas,
like 10 bucks.
Yeah, it wasn't that much.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my dad gave me allowance to go eat school lunch or whatever, you know, because at my school we could leave campus and go to like fast food or whatever. Car's on empty. I'll just not eat and then I'll just fill it up and it would take me a couple days.
Yeah, right.
If you could have any car today, what would it be?
Man, I just feel so very fortunate to have the cars that I have. I just can't believe my lucky stars. So I guess the honest answer is if I could hold on to the cars that I currently own for the rest of my life or until I stop enjoying them or can drive them, then that would be a major success for me personally. Yeah, I hardly want anything more than I don't already have.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, comment, like, and share with your friends. Feel free to send questions or suggestions to the email in the description of the show. Special thanks to our sponsor, Circuit 64. Goodbye for now. We hope we can get together again for our next episode. Now get out there and enjoy the cars and the people.